You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
It's Friday. That means it's time for your view from the C-suite here on Classic Business, bringing you closer to South Africa's business and political economy leaders. What makes them tick? What keeps them up at night and keeps them going through this COVID storm? Well, my guest this week is one of the leading voices for the sustainable advancement of women in the corporate and entrepreneurial space in South Africa today. She was the first chairperson of the South African Women Entrepreneurs Network, which is an initiative of the DTI, all about supporting women-owned SMEs. And was also instrumental in the establishment of the South African Women in Work National Strategy Organization and the Constitution. She is, through Business Engage, the founder of the Gender Mainstreaming Awards. Those awards really are all about encouraging the private sector to buy into achieving more meaningful representation of women in the mainstream of business. And in addition to all of that, she's the president of the 30% Club Southern Africa, which is a global organization of chairs and other senior business leaders publicly committed to achieving 30% women on boards together with the associated pipeline within a period of 5 years. And it includes some pretty high profile companies, Anglo American, Old Mutual, Bloomberg, PwC and Goldman Sachs, just to name a few. Colleen Larson, CEO of Women in Business Engage, welcome to The View.
Thank you so much, Michael.
It's an incredible CV in this space, and I think we are obviously living in very interesting times, as the old Chinese curse goes, with social movements all over the world in various areas. But I want to take you back to how it all began. How has your life experience shaped and molded and made you the leader that you are today?
Well, it's actually quite an interesting story, Michael, because I was growing my financial services career, and I thought I was going to be this high financial executive, and that was my path. And I woke up in 2005 thinking one of the key aspects why women, and especially women entrepreneurs, fail is the lack of financial literacy and the lack of access to finance. And I started this little hobby in 2005 of getting small groups together to do financial literacy training. And no sooner had I started that we grew and grew until this is what I do today. But it's been absolutely amazing. I always look back on my career, and you know, some people look back and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But every single bit of my career was the formation of what we are today. So I obviously don't do what we do on our own. I've got a huge team behind us with 72 corporates on board. Each one of them has got a committee that helps us do what we achieve today. So really, it's not me on my own, but a huge amount of us working together to make it happen.
It's amazing how things that sometimes, in effect, starting as almost side hustles or hobbies or passions end up growing into life-changing, career-shaping events and businesses. Now, if you have a look at what we see when it comes to empowering women in South African boardrooms today, just this week we saw the PwC Executive Director's Practices and Remuneration Report, and it shows that women continue to remain not only a minority on boards, I think less than one-fifth of the JSE Executive Director grouping, 14%. Yeah. But we're still seeing that there's this differential in pay between men and women. And I just think it's a remarkable thing that in an environment where we've got things like equal pay for equal work, where there is a lot of attention year in and year out on this particular topic, why do you think this continues to persist in a world of equal pay for equal work?
I think it's basically been the structure of what we actually formed in the past and the roles that we've played in the past. So, you know, I think it's not something that we are going to change overnight. It's a journey that we're on. I've coined the word it can't be this huge thing of where we change things overnight, because then it's not sustainable. But we don't want it as an evolution, and it's something that we really need to work on as a collective. I think in the past we've made it a women's issue, not a business issue. And so essentially we've spoken about what women haven't had, what women haven't done, and how to fix the women, and yet we haven't actually brought that within the corporate environment. So what we do on a day-to-day basis is we bring the corporates along with us and we bring the men along with us. Because only then, when you start seeing the discrepancies and you start seeing things that you can actually work on, and really looking at the real issues, so tackling those real issues. And I think one of the main things with where you're going to get to is we've always also always chased this non-executive director role rather than an executive director role. So that also plays its role in terms of more women getting into CEO position and that type of thing. So it's a whole change of what we need to do in order to succeed going forward. But it's not going to happen overnight. So if we really want to do things, they have to be a concerted effort, they have to be consistent, and we have to go in the right direction. I always say it's great to look back and see where we came from, but it's far more better to look forward and say what we want to achieve. Yeah. And so we believe we're on the right path in terms of the corporates we are dealing with. There has been huge change, and it's also been brought about by the fact that when you get 72 corporates working together, and it's not a small little story anymore. You know, I think previously it was like this little issue that people were dealing with, and yet you've got 72 corporates working together now, and it's a big issue. It's a big issue with a concerted focus to make a difference, to make a change. But it's definitely not going to be able to be that way if we don't bring the men along with us.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that. I was chatting to a friend and a female executive who has done exceptionally well in her own right. She's just taking some gardening leave and is currently being approached by one of the biggest soft drink companies in the world. And she was talking to me about the moment that we're living in. And because I said to her that the one thing that we tend to do, and we focus on women in the workplace or women empowerment issues, is we tend to have what feels to me, it feels like a very uncomfortable conversation that sometimes sounds condescending, like, how do you manage to balance work and life? I mean, why do we not ask men that question? But what she came back to me, she said, Michael, you know, the issue for me that is really important right now is this issue of allyship. And it's around social movements around the world, like Black Lives Matter and all of those that are bringing everyone in. And it doesn't mean that you've got to have a female board member championing gender diversity on the board,
absolutely.
But the chair of the board, regardless of gender. And so bringing men along, to your point, is certainly the way that we are going to see real change happen. How is that happening through the 30% club and through the various organizations you're working with at the moment?
Well, we have a very collaborative structure. So for us, it's not about only Business Engage. I mean, tomorrow, just to give you an idea, we're running a Voices of Change event with about 1,500 people online. And whereas before they always said, you know, women can't work together, well, we are working together. There's 20 of us working together to bring tomorrow off. And you know, so I think it is that collaboration. It is that constant intervention. So I know a lot of non-profit organizations, they do one event now, and then they say, okay, so when have we got the next funding? We'll do something in about, you know, 6 months' time or something. Mm. That does not work. Mm. It's got to be consistent. It's got to deliver. Whatever you say you're going to do, you've got to deliver on. And I think that's where we've been so successful, is that we've gone out when we first started, we had the corporates turning around and saying to us, oh, well, go and do it, and then we might come along. Whereas now we don't have to prove ourselves anymore. Whatever we said we're going to do, we've done. We've achieved more. We've pivoted to bring on new things. And that is the thing, to keep it alive and exciting all the time. So, I mean, if you look at one organization working on its own, it costs a huge amount of money to do what we do today. But when you've got 72 corporates coming together and sharing the load, it makes it a lot easier, especially during this time of COVID-19. We are well aware of, you know, there was a report about a month ago that looked at the retrenchments, and of the 3 million or that had lost their jobs, 2 million were women.
Yeah.
And we are so mindful at this time that it's not us. it's not only us. You know, if we actually don't succeed, it's not only us that is not succeeding, but the women that we are here to support. So if we can also, as a group of collective organizations, if we can provide that support structure, if we can be here for the voice of women in business now, that stands us in good stead. You know, it's not always waiting for the corporates to do something. It's what are we going to do for ourselves? What are we going to do that the corporate environment needs today? And that's what I think the corporates are looking up and saying, well, Business Engage, with your collective organizations that are working together, you are achieving it, and that's why we get the support.
And I'm very encouraged to hear that there is so much collaboration, because in the past there's always been that issue of what's the queen bee syndrome, and the fact that there were so few women successful in certain corporate positions that they would often not go out and sort of bat for each other. But that is certainly changing. And I think that is evidenced through what you just told me. But I want to circle back to COVID-19. Another thing that's fascinating. And the fact is, we've seen women-led nations doing better with their COVID-19 responses. Now, do you think there's enough causation to imply some kind of causal effect when it comes to the leadership styles that women leaders are employing through this crisis, perhaps being more consultative or more empathetic? What do you make of that?
You know, I've got a difference of opinion. I, first of all, don't believe that there's any man that says, let's see how we get women down today, because they're far too busy doing business. I just don't believe that. It's just like the myth. I believe that each leader is brought into a position, whether they are male or female. I don't believe that it is, it's a woman or a man's role. I believe we are people. And so, yes, you can look at where the countries that are led by women, and yes, it is right that we are more collaborative. We bring along a lot more people and that type of thing. But it's also been said that women don't want to collaborate. We don't want to consult. We want to just, you know, be at the forefront. So, you know, I think there are so many myths in this environment that I think we must just celebrate the successes, whether you're male or female. Celebrate the successes, understand that for us it's fantastic that in those countries those women are doing such an amazing job. But it's not always that if you've got a woman at the top that things happen lower down. And it's not always if you've got a man at the top things happen. I think it really boils down to people and the individual skills that they have.
I love that philosophy and sentiment, and agree with you wholeheartedly. People are people, and we need to strip out all of the other labels at the end of the day. What advice do you have for women starting out in their business careers, early on in their careers? And if you look back on your career, was there a mentor that you had that positively impacted you in your career? And how important is that?
For me, I've had many mentors and sponsors. I think sponsorship is key in terms of senior leadership. But all the mentors, I've had more informal mentors rather than, you know, a mentor that's been dedicated to me. So anybody that knows me knows I love having coffee. And with each and every one of those, it's either somebody that I can help or somebody that can help me. And I strongly believe in connection. You cannot do it on your own. So, you know, I always say to women, if you don't come up and say you're struggling or you need help or how you needing assistance, then don't complain afterwards. It is about that connection. It's about getting connected to people that are there to help you, provide for you, and to support you in your journey. So for me, somebody who just phones me and says, please will you send my CV on, or please will you connect me to this company because I want to go and do... it's not in our vocabulary. We say to you, come and participate, come and get involved. You get the confidence and the competence to go and step into those roles yourself. It is about that age-old thing where we are teaching them to fish. We're not giving the opportunity to them. We're teaching them to fish so that will set them up in their career. But you cannot do it on your own. So there are many organizations like ourselves. You know, we're not saying that we are the only. There are many organizations. And whatever suits you and wherever you fit, I would recommend go and get connected. And then use your voice. Because that's where I think a lot of women miss out, is we don't step up and say that's what we want. And so ask for those positions, put yourself forward, and let people know that you're there.
I think fantastic advice and a great message at this time as well. Colleen Larson, CEO of Women in Business Engage, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your view from the C-suite with us here on Classic Business.